Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. The last thing I want is to be mistaken as one that teaches like everyone else. I know the good things that God has done in my heart, in my life. I know the special times that I've told you some, and some I haven't had a chance to mention, but I know when God has ministered to me where no one could. I know the things that He's done in my heart that it had to be God. And there's a real relationship with a real Jesus, not one that they talk about and have pictures about, but the real one that walked around the Sea of Galilee, the one that healed lepers, the one that forgave when people confessed sin, etc. There's a real, and we know this, but... And I've said this before, I've been a Christian since 1984, but He's more real to me now than He was when that miracle of salvation happened in my heart. Amen. And I want to see the light of Christ break forth in their hearts and in that community. So if you have your Bibles, please turn with me to the book of Luke. Luke chapter 4, and I'm sure you're familiar with this passage. But Jesus, very early in His public ministry, we know the story, He went to synagogue, He asked to read, and they gave Him the book of Isaiah. And He said in Luke chapter 4, verse 18 and 19, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And He closed the book and gave it again to the minister and sat down. Heavenly Father, please help me to preach. Please help me to proclaim the Lord and His majesty. Please open the eyes and ears and hearts of those that are listening. And again, as the man said, and as I repeatedly mentioned, sir, we would see Jesus. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, as you know, we're studying in 2 Kings. And the last that we talked about, we were in 2 Kings chapter 5. And I spent 2 or 3 weeks on this, I suppose. But it opened up talking about the little maid that was carried away captive, stolen from her family, and brought to Samaria, and made to work as a slave for Naaman's wife. And we went over this. Naaman was a leper. That dreaded disease where parts fall off. Arm, nose, toes, whatever. Fall off of their own accord. Infected, what have you. Leprosy is a picture of sin. Symbolic of sin. Our hearts get infected with sin and we lose out. With leprosy, you lose parts of your person. With sin, you lose your soul.
That's right.
But Jesus is the healer.
Amen.
I said Jesus is the healer.
That's right.
Everywhere he went, we read in the Gospels that
yes.
people came up to him and said, Master, I have this pain or this arm's gone or whatever the case. Please heal. And he reached out his hand and he healed them, everyone. Very few places it's recorded that he didn't do much healing. And that's mainly because the people in those towns didn't believe. But if you approach Jesus Christ in faith, he will answer your prayer. He may not do it when you want. He may not do it the way you want. But he will answer your prayer. It may look like things get worse the more you pray. But I know my Lord, and I know that suffering and difficulty and struggle and the wilderness experience is part of the gospel. Put your trust in him. Put your hand in his hand and hold on tight. We all know the story of Footprints, the little poem. We all know it. I don't have to quote it. But during the rough times in your life, Jesus is with you. If you trust him, he's with you. He'll not leave you nor forsake you, he said. He'll be with you to the end of the age. And it may not seem like things are going the way you want, or the way that you understand, or the way they taught it to you in cemetery.
Yeah.
But God can help. If you trust in him and depend upon him and look to him, God will help, and he will bring you through. And there's nothing too hard for God. Nothing is too difficult for thee, we used to sing back in the 70s and 80s. But this little maid, I'm through with this chapter. I need to move on, but I can't. There's another sermon I have to preach, and I don't want to do it. But this little maid, she suffered. Again, stolen from her family. She was 14, 16, I don't know how old. But it says in verse 3 that she said unto her mistress, Would God, my Lord, were with the prophet that is in Samaria. For he would recover him of his leprosy.
Yes.
And I've said this, the little girl had every right to hate Naaman and pray that he die. Had every right, I don't know what she was doing, cooking or whatever, scrubbing pots or whatever. She had every right to spit in his food before she served it. Again, stolen from her family. You need to get that. She was stolen from her family. She knew that she would never see her mom and dad and her sisters and brothers and best friend never see them again. I can think of few things as bad as that. But God lived in her heart. Jesus Christ lived in her heart by faith. She trusted in the Messiah. I know this is Old Testament, but she trusted in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob and knew that the Messiah was coming. She was born again. If not really, the Spirit didn't live in her heart as we have it under the new covenant, but she was saved. Make no mistake. You can come to no other conclusion that she was a Christian of that day. Because instead of hating Naaman and cursing him and trying to, again, do anything that she could to hinder in that household, she got on her face and prayed, and out of the abundance of her heart, her prayer was, I wish somehow that my master, the one that stole me, could get to Samaria and go to the prophet, because the prophet could deliver him of his leprosy. He could be healed. He could be delivered. His skin, and we read it, this happened just a few verses later. He dipped 7 times in the River Jordan. And his skin came again as like a little child. And he was clean. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again?
Yes.
Nothing
yes.
but the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
Oh, precious is that flow that can make me white as snow. No
yes.
other fount I know.
Nothing.
Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Amen. Praise God.
The message of Jesus Christ is from Genesis to Revelation and all, every chapter, every book in between. That's the message of the Bible. And I know what my Lord can do for you, because I've had him do it for me. I'm not Dr. Sounding Brass up here. I've got a message, and it's a sure word from heaven
yes,
that you
yes.
must trust in Jesus Christ and believe him. But this little maid, God had done something in her heart. When I mention this little maid, and I did it last time, I can't help myself. I have to talk about the woman at the well. A whole string of husbands and working on the next one. Bound up in religion. When Jesus began to speak with her, she answered, well, my church believes this and that, etc. You know, had a religious answer. Religion cannot save. All religion did was made her ashamed, and she had to go to get water at the well at noon instead of in the cool of the day when all the other women were there. That's what religion does. It cannot help. Religion only hurts. Religion only makes things worse.
Yes.
But Jesus is not a religion. Jesus, we have the evidence of Scripture that he hated religion. And when they said you have to wash your hands this way and you have to do this and you have to do that, the Pharisees had a whole string of things that he had to do. He says, no, I won't. Because there's no life in there. But after the Lord got through talking with the woman at the well, she put down her water pot. She too was born again by the time that they were through talking. And she's the first New Testament recorded evangelist I believe that we have. She went to the city and said, come see a man. And that's what I'm telling you here today. Come see a man. Come see Jesus Christ.
Amen. Yes.
That's what I've gone to Haiti and all the different other countries I've been to do. To tell them, come see a man.
Yes.
So we see that God is interested in women's ministry. I generally am not. Because most of what passes for it, and I'm thinking of television, I'm thinking perhaps of, well, I guess you could count the number of women's ministries there are on television. And if God can use them, that's great, fine. But what I see lacking, and why I don't want to preach this message, is that most of the time the focus is not on Jesus. This little maid, captive in Naaman's house, wasn't thinking about herself as she was scrubbing pots. She was thinking about her master that had leprosy. Jesus, we just read, he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has
yes.
anointed me. Well, he's the one that we're looking to.
Yes.
He puts the focus on himself because he's the answer.
Amen.
We should put the focus on Christ because he is the answer. But oftentimes, that which passes for women's ministry puts the focus on self and on the minister herself. And it troubles me. And I'm not talking just about women's ministry. Most of what passes for teaching ministries or what have you on television, they bother me. The greed gospel. Used to call it the prosperity gospel, to be polite, but honestly it's the gospel of greed. I can call a man's name. If I did, you'd say, yeah, you're right, Brother Kelly. The only thing he ever talks about on television is money. It's his one message. It's not right. It's not right. Paul said that we ought to speak the same thing. And maybe not everybody's a Pentecostal evangelist like I am, but the message, if you're Methodist, or Nazarene, or Presbyterian, or you, I don't care, wherever you go to church, should be Jesus Christ. It should be that He saves, heals, delivers. Maybe you don't believe He baptizes in the Holy Ghost, but you ought to believe that He's coming again.
Yes, yes.
The focus should be on Christ and what Jesus Christ can do. But it's generally, well, you know, we don't believe that anymore, brother. And, well, maybe you ought to go see a psychiatrist or psychologist, and he's got some things to talk about while you're laying on the couch, or maybe he'll take the easy way out and just give you some pills. I don't find in the Bible that Jesus referred anyone to anybody else. I don't find in the Old Testament that they referred anyone to anybody else. When they found the book of the law in the temple, they said, hey, we need to repent. We've been doing stuff wrong. We need to come back to the Bible.
Amen.
We need to serve God with a whole heart. And with sackcloth and ashes, they heard and repented. There's also the idea that only a woman can minister to a woman because woman's hurts and etc. and etc. and etc. Well, Jesus wasn't a woman when He was at the woman at the well. And I believe in El Shaddai, the breasted one, the one that we should derive all of our sustenance from. But God is not a woman. And this little maid, the Holy Spirit, not a woman, ministered to her in her heart. And it troubles me. If you're mad, well, I'm sorry. But here, you know, I went just a few weeks ago on vacation. We went to Arkansas. We went up to Hot Springs and what have you. And in preparation, I said, well, you know, we probably have some churches up there. The Pentecostal Church of God, the little denomination I'm a part of, probably have some churches up there. We have 5 churches, if I count one twice, I think, here in Louisiana. There's 175 churches in Arkansas. Wow, makes us look kind of small, I guess. But our denomination, and again, I don't care for this denomination or that, I don't care. Came over here for camp meeting, they were kind to me, and I said, hey, it sounds good, I'll work with them. But I don't have any pride in my denomination or my church. If you have pride in your denomination or your church, you're also wrong. But being troubled, I went. We here in the Louisiana district, we have a women's ministry. And so I went to talk to Sister Pat May at Victory Temple in Prairieville. I sat down with her and the pastor and I said, educate me. Please tell me what women's ministry is. I don't want to mistake. I don't want to make any mistake. I don't want to say anything that's wrong. And part of me said, well, I'm going to get a lecture, I suppose. I went to ask, you explain to me, Sister May, what it is that you think women's ministry is. Maybe I'm just dumb and don't understand. And I was very surprised, pleasantly surprised, honestly. Because what she told me was this, that they, a couple of times a year or whatever it is, they have some sort of retreat or revival or some kind of conference for all the different churches in the district. All the different churches, they'll advertise whatever, and they have some sort of retreat center or something that they put together. I've not been to them, obviously. I'm not a woman. And I know that one's coming up in a few months, and if you're interested in it, we can get some information to you. But she said what she does is about what I do, about what the bishop does. She gets in her face before God and says, Lord, what do you want to tell these women? I'm supposed to preach at this conference. All these women are coming. They're expecting to hear something. Please tell me what to say. Again, that's exactly the way I pray. And then she gets a message from God. That message, she explained one to me. It was I could have preached it. It was identical to the things that I preach. And she lifted up the Lord as she explained her sermon to me. Her sermon glorified Christ and pointed people to Christ. And the services, to me, sounds like some sort of revival service, as she described it to me. It's identical, honestly, to the way that I preach and minister. Maybe she's more eloquent, sings better, I don't know, but the message is the same. It's identical. And I got happy in the pastor's office and was very, very encouraged to hear what she had to say. Maybe I'm old-fashioned, out of date, maybe, etc. But I still believe in the old rugged cross. I still believe that if you have any problem at all in your life, you can go to Jesus Christ and He can heal you, and oftentimes will. You want to talk about emotional problems, you want to talk about problems in the soul and etc. Well, this little maid and the woman at the well, they certainly had troubles, more than you've ever experienced, I'll bet. And I would encourage everyone listening to be a Berean. Turn that television on and get your Bible out. And if what they say, it may be exciting, it may be flashy, it may minister to your soul, maybe, I guess. But if it doesn't lift up Jesus Christ, maybe you ought to turn that television off and continue to read the Bible. Put your trust in the Lord and not be led astray. Again, I don't really feel like preaching this sermon. I don't like doing this. But the epistles mention, I believe, that there are certain types of ministers that creep into women's houses and lead them astray. By television, it's very simple to creep into someone's house. All you have to do is get them to turn it on, and there you are in the house. And I'm not necessarily picking on women's ministers, I'm picking on anyone that preaches a wrong message, the gospel of greed, perhaps, or any of the different messages that are on television or radio. The only message that matters is what I've been preaching to you now for 5 years on the radio and 1 year here in this church, that Jesus is the one that you ought to look to. Let's put our trust in Him. Heavenly Father, thank You. Thank You, Father. I'm glad, and was glad, when they said, let us go to the house of the Lord. I'm glad that You watched over me, and You corrected me when I might have gotten off. I'm so glad that You kept me on the straight and narrow, and Lord, help me to walk worthy of my calling. And I pray for those that I minister to. Lord, do something in their hearts. Maybe it's not a flashy message. Maybe some of those other guys are flashier and can draw a crowd or whatever. But only Jesus can minister to the heart. And I want to be with Jesus. Thank You, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hello friends, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly. Beginning Sunday, January the 8th at 6 p.m. will begin holding evangelistic services at Old Paths Tabernacle. These services are an outreach of the Joey Kelly broadcast. If you like old-fashioned singing and preaching and a revival atmosphere, I'm sure you'll enjoy attending these services. To kick things off, I'll be doing an in-depth, verse-by-verse study of the book of Matthew. You know that I love teaching the types in the Old Testament, but I'm looking forward to studying the fulfillment of those types, which of course is the Lord Jesus Christ. Old Paths Tabernacle will be meeting in the Fellowship Hall of Old Metairie Protestant Church, 1301 Metairie Road, here in Metairie, at the corner of Metairie Road and Conifer Boulevard, which is right across from the Shell station. Services are at 6 p.m. Sunday evenings only. I hope to see you there. You've been listening to the Joey Kelly broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net/ministry. That's joeykelly.net/ministry. And you can read about the missions work that I do down in Haiti. Or if you like, you can write me at 324 Conifer Boulevard, number 9. That's Codifer Boulevard, number 9, Metairie, Louisiana, 7005. And until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.